Some federal agencies are in charge of inventing the wheel. They fund research that ultimately makes life better for the government and everybody else. NASA invented memory foam, for example. But turning research into something you can use might be harder than you think. Dr. Stephanie Shipp is a research staff member at the IDA Science and Technology Policy Institute. Her group studied the challenges for the Commerce Department. She joined us with the findings. Dr. Shipp, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
So tell us about the scope of the study. What was it that you were trying to find out?
So President Obama's priority is to accelerate innovation and entrepreneurship. And one way that you can do that is to transfer technology that's being developed at our national labs and allow businesses to use that technology to turn it into commercial products and processes. So the Department of Commerce asked us to undertake a baseline study to look at technology transfer from the federal labs. And to do that, we conducted interviews with over 70 experts, including close to 30 technology transfer officers at the national labs.
So this would actually then be the process of taking this research, this federal research, and giving it a practical commercial application.
That's right. And so Tom gave one example. There's several other examples. For example, we have seedless grapes, and we have permapress fabrics because of research undertaken by agricultural scientists at the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The government made seedless grapes?
Well, they conducted the research that made that possible. And
then
the business took that research and developed that into a product that could be sold in our grocery stores.
Now, you just mentioned a very big step, business taking something from a lab and turning it into a product. How do they obtain it? What rights do they have to pay the government for the rights to that research? Is it free to anyone that wants to use it? How does it work in some detail?
So that's both the challenge as well as part of the strategies that labs are undertaking to make that easier to do or to facilitate that process. One of the biggest challenges is, first, that many businesses don't know that the national labs are open for business. So national labs are working very hard to let businesses know that that can occur. There are also nonprofit entities within states that are helping match the skills or the research needs of a business with the research that's being conducted at the labs. But that being said, once we've identified a partnership, how does that work? You have to execute either, well, there's multiple ways that that can happen, either through a cooperative research agreement in which the scientist at the business can work with scientists at the labs to further develop that technology and then spin it out to a product that can be commercialized, or the business can license that technology and then develop it on their own.
So it sounds like from the very beginning there might be a little PR issue going on just to make sure that the folks know that they are open for business, as you said.
They are, and some labs do that better than others. Mm-hmm. The missions of some labs, such as the National Renewable Energy Labs or, again, the agriculture labs, their mission is to work closely with business. And so they have many different activities that promote recognition or availability of that research. Other labs conduct more basic research, and so it's not necessarily their mission to make that known. Although that being said, they may still have research that's useful to businesses.
We're speaking with Dr. Stephanie Shipp, research staff member at the IDA Science and Technology Policy Institute. And I wanted to ask you how academics and academia come into this equation, because very often the research might be done under a grant to a third party, such as an academic. So how does that affect the idea of transferring that ultimate research product into a technology or product for sale?
So the research that we're talking about is what we call intramural research. That's research being conducted by government scientists. That being said, many of these researchers at national labs do work with universities, and sometimes the university professors have grants that further develop that research. And then that is one way that that research often makes it to the market, so that the research will be developed at the lab. They will be working with university professors to further develop that lab, and then it may be spun out from the university as well.
And do you find the role of being, I guess, liaison, is that an appropriate term for it, to get this from point A to point B, is that an expanding role, or is the government beginning to realize that this has to happen to get to point B from point A?
So at some agencies, it has. At the Department of Energy, they have a very active technology transfer program, and it's becoming more active to do that. Recently, the president signed a memorandum to encourage federal laboratories to make technology transfer more of a priority. That is really critical to enhancing technology transfer and ensuring that lab directors take that seriously. Mm-hmm. We found that at labs that are very successful, the lab director already puts a lot of emphasis and priority on technology transfer. What does that mean? Researchers know that's important and it's part of their job. Technology transfer offices tend to then obtain more resources and have more staff dedicated to technology transfer. So other facets of the presidential memorandum are, one, encourages the lab directors to make this a priority, but then importantly, the labs need to establish goals about what technology transfer means and track those goals.
Yeah, you'd have to measure that.
You have to measure it. So right now, we measure what's easy to count. We measure number of patents filed for, number of technologies licensed, but they may want to consider looking at some of their activities. Right now, it takes several months to execute a cooperative agreement. Some labs are actively tracking that and then working to reduce the number of days it takes to put an agreement in place, an agreement for industry and business to work together.
Now, is all of the research done by national laboratories intended to be applied in technology and sales type of format, or is there some of it that's just basic research where you can't really promise that someday there's something transferable, or at least not for many years?
That's a really good question. Our study focused on the variety of missions that each lab undertakes. So, for example, the Air Force Research Lab undertakes basic research. That research is just going to take many more steps to be developed to a point where it could be useful not only to the Air Force for their aerospace needs, but also for the private sector. But other labs conduct much more applied research, and that kind of research can have dual use. So, for example, the Department of Defense, their model is to develop research, spin it out to the private sector with the intent of buying those products back. And at one point, they needed a paint that was environmentally friendly but more durable. They developed the research to develop that paint, but then spun it out. Companies picked up that technology, developed it, and then sold that paint back to the Department of Defense.
And I understand the memo is about research that's across the board, but do you find in your work that the pendulum may swing, that some technology is a little more desirable than others, that it may swing back and forth between, oh, people are very interested in, I don't know, green technology versus homeland security type technology, that sort of thing, or does it even matter?
I think that matters, what the priorities are, both the administration priorities and what the needs are. In fact, this technology is often developed or used to meet goals that will improve society and improve our quality of life. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the national labs are conducting research that first and most importantly benefits their sponsor. So, for example, when Los Alamos National Lab is working for the Defense Department to develop algorithms for testing explosives, that's their number one priority. But the fact that a large company can come along and use those algorithms to test absorbency of diapers, well, there you go. You can get benefit both on the national side, on the federal side, as well as in the private sector.
Well, maybe someday we'll get the Agriculture Department and the nuclear labs and see what kind of seedless grape they can come up with together.
Right, right.
That sounds dangerous. Dr. Stephanie Schiff, a research staff member at IDA Science and Technology Policy Institute, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you very much.
We'll also